Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, open up to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want us to begin today as we continue with this sermon series called Listen. It's really about knowing and recognizing and hearing and knowing the voice of God. Many questions have come to me over the past several years through emails, conversations, letters, text messages. You know, Pastor, I heard you say, you know, in your story that you heard God speaking to you. How do you know that that was the voice of God? How do I know when God is speaking to me? How can I listen and recognize God's voice when He speaks to me? So as a prayer today, I kind of want to start today as a prayer by saying these words. Actually, the title of our message is this. It says, "Speak, I am listening." Can we say that together this morning? Say, "Speak, I am listening." One more time. "Speak, I am listening." Our text today is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to look at that in a little bit because I think there's some great truths. I read this story so many times as a kid growing up hearing this story. As I began to pray and read more and study more and really pray for the Holy Spirit to really show me some things have happened in the last, since 2006. Some things have happened since 2006 in my life that this story has really brought to me. And it's helped me. And I think if we can grab these ideas today, I say it every week, if you just grab the big ideas, if you can just get it in your heart, it'll change your life. And I think every week, if we can just grab the truth of God's Word, it'll begin to change our life. Because I need my life need to be changed. How about you, right? You're not, yeah, listen, 11:15, if you want out of here, you got to shout back now. With you. I'm on the beach already. But I want us to look at this. There's a divine mystery as we talk about listening. And the reason I use these words, divine mystery, for many of us is because I think the idea of listening and hearing God has become an ordinary task. Last week, we talked about how do we hear, how do we listen, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. As I look across our faith and the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal charismatic movement over the years, it's almost like hearing the voice of God was just an ordinary task. Oh, I just hear the voice of God every day. God said this, and God told me to do that, and God told me to do this. Right, awesome, great. I'm not saying He did not. What I'm saying is, though, sometimes we think about listening to the voice of God as some ordinary, everyday task when it's not. Because when God begins to speak, it is the Creator of everything that has invited us into His world, and He is beginning to talk to us, and we need to pause and take it serious that God is speaking to our life. So it's kind of a shift from last week. Last week, knowing that God continues to speak, sometimes we stop listening. And today, we sort of shift over to this side to say that when God speaks, we need to listen and pay attention. There's a divine mystery when the Creator, the one who gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, when He is coming into your life, invited you into His world to speak to you, we need to listen and listen with our whole heart. I don't think that when I begin to listen to God, it's not just an ordinary conversation. Well, I do believe that as we pray, when prayer, we talk about prayer, is really a conversation we're having with God. But too many times when we get on our knees and begin to pray, we lay out all of our petitions before Him. And we cry out and cry out. And all of a sudden when we're done, we say in Jesus' name, now God begins to want to speak and we're done. We quit. We walk away. And we don't stop. We don't pause. We don't listen to the divine mystery that God wants to speak to our life. And I want to encourage you today that God is speaking. And we're going to see through this story of Samuel, just what was going on. There's some great truths in this story. So let's look at this today. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We know that Hannah was unable to bear children. And she prayed to God. And she said, "Lord, if you give me a child, if you give me a child, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him back to the temple, back to the tabernacle, to the service." In other words, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you in service to God. And God came and did a miracle in her body, and she bore a son and named him Samuel. And she did just what she said. She dedicated him back into the temple for the service of the Lord. The problem with that is the leaders of the temple at the time were not good people. Eli was not really a great person. Matter of fact, Eli's sons were pretty much gone crazy, right? They were living a very sinful life. And if you read the story on down In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you begin to see some of the things that they were doing in the temple. And Eli himself had become, listen to these words, comfortable in serving God. And so we pick up the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." Underline those words if you have your Bible, or write them down somewhere. The word of the Lord was rare. "And at the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the Lord was." So here we got this holy place, the temple of the Lord. This place that Samuel had been given the responsibility, along with Eli, to oversee. They were overseeing the temple of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, this holy place. They were given this responsibility to oversee, to watch after, to look after this place, the place where the presence of God would show up here, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And this was their responsibility. "Then the Lord called Samuel. He said, 'Here I am.'" And here we see that this is the first time that Samuel was aware that someone was speaking to him, but he did not know that it was the Lord. Look at his response. "And he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you've called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you. Lie down again.' So he went and he laid down again. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. My son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Listen to these words. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. It wasn't that Samuel didn't know about God. Where was he serving? He was serving in the very place dedicated to the very presence of the Creator God is where he was serving. It wasn't that he did not know the history of God. It wasn't that he did not know all of the traditions surrounding the temple. He knew all that stuff. But what it says here is that he did not know. He did not have a personal encounter with God at this point in his life. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. "And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay back in his place. And the Lord came and stood, as he had done at other times, calling. And he says, "Samuel, Samuel." And then he said these words, "Speak, for your servant hears." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, it be a lamp unto our feet. Light our path on this journey of life that you've given us. Let us be faithful with your words. Lord, your written words are just the way that you speak to us. And I pray, God, that we're faithful. The words penetrate sometimes the hardness and the callous of our hearts. We begin to listen to you. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. So let me just paraphrase what had happened. Someone was calling out Samuel. His first response was, "Well, it must be my mentor." So he runs to his mentor and he says, "Eli, are you calling me?" He's like, "No, I'm not calling you." "Go, I'm old. I've got to go to sleep here. Go back. I'm not calling you." So he goes back to bed. He hears his name again, Samuel. He gets up and he runs back to his mentor again. He says, "Are you calling me?" He goes, "What's wrong with you, kid? I'm not calling you. Are you crazy? Go lay down. I'm trying to sleep. I'm old. I can't hardly even see anymore. I got to have 8 hours of sleep. If I don't get 8 hours of sleep, I'm going to be grumpy in the morning and you got to deal with it." This is the way I read the story, by the way. Kind of put myself into the picture, right? Then he comes a third time when God calls Samuel. He runs a third time and he says, "Eli, are you speaking to me?" It was the third time that Eli finally caught the idea that this must be God. Why did it take Eli, the priest, serving in the temple in the presence of God, three times to hear and know that maybe this was the voice of God speaking to Samuel? That's a question I have been asking myself for years. What happened? I think there's three things this morning that I want to show you that have impacted my life over the years, especially since 2006, because in 2006 something changed. And I don't want to become like Eli. I don't want to be sitting there waiting and trying to understand what's going on and not recognizing when God is speaking to someone else. Why did he not recognize it? See, Eli had lost his sense of wonder. Eli had lost that divine mystery of God speaking. It becomes something ordinary. He got caught up in all the church things that were going around. He got caught up in all the VBSs and everything else. It had just become another ordinary daily task to serve in the presence of God. And he did not understand and hear. I do not want us to be like Eli. And there was a point in my life where that's exactly who I was. I served in the church. Every time we'd go to a new church, God would send us there. We always serve, we always work, we always ministers, and I'd always get caught up in the ordinary things and the service and the work of the ministry and would listen, not be able to hear the voice of God. So the question is it possible for us to become accustomed to the religious surroundings that have become the substitute for the voice of God? Here's the first thing that I want to share with you today. Number one, the word of the Lord is sometimes rare. We should not take for granted when God is speaking to us. Verse 1, it says this, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." For many of us, you may be in a season right now where you're praying and you're listening and you're praying and you're listening, but you do not hear the voice of God. Let me say this to you this morning. I believe this, that there is something built into each of us that needs to be reaffirmed in life. How many of you have read the five love languages? Right? Ever heard the five love languages? How you can understand how God has created you and how you respond to love. But I think as I have studied it and I have read it and I have looked at other people, I think there is one of those five love languages I think all of us at some point, whether small or great, have in common. And that's that we all want and need and desire words of affirmation. Amen this morning. Can you agree with me this morning? All right. Y'all getting a little bit quiet there. We need people to tell us that we're doing okay. We need people to encourage us sometimes, right? Encourage you. You're doing a good job. Desmond, Christy, you're doing a great job. Y'all, come on. Amen. All right. But there are times when God may stay silent to us. And why is it that God goes silent? Why? It's a good question. I'm still trying to answer it. But here's the best answer I can give. Because I think God wants us to know, or wants to know, are we going to be faithful with what He's already said? Are you going to be faithful with what you've already heard God say in your life? When God seems silent, our only choice at that point is to start being faithful with what He's already told us. This is what happened in 2006. I've told the story. I'm just going to keep telling them. You guys don't know everything about my life. That's okay. I'm transparent. Right? You can't see through me, but I am transparent. In 2006, one of the only two times I've ever heard the audible voice of God, God told me, He says, "Pack your stuff, pack your furniture, and move to Mississippi." All right, so we were living in Somerville, Massachusetts, right? Serving full-time in the church, serving as a worship pastor. Things are going great. All the kids have been born. Things have been to pick up. Life is great. And all of a sudden, God says, in an audible voice, I'm out back, maneuvering my car, parking my car, whatever. And I heard God say, pick up your stuff and move back home. Move to Mississippi. And so I did. I went and told Maria. I said, guess where we're going? She says, well, I hope it's Walmart. No, a little farther. Well, I hope it's the beach. No, a little farther than that. So the Lord told us to pack it up. We're moving. Now, of course, you can understand over the next several months the frustrations involved because there was no reason. There was no reason. God didn't say, move to Mississippi because I want you to do this. He just says, pack it up and move. Well, only two times I've ever heard the audible voice of God speak to me, and that's exactly what we did. And I did not hear Him speak to me the entire time that I was in Mississippi. But I knew through reading God's Word what He had told me to do. I knew as I studied, because sometimes, right, when we don't hear, in other words, the Word of God, His voice is rare to us, or He's not speaking, we're praying but not speaking. Go back, be faithful to do what He's already told you to do. It was in a series of events that things had come unglued at home, and God began to put them back together the way that He wanted to put them back together. And then the other time that I've heard God speak to me was when we got ready to plant this church, and I've been asked to be the senior pastor of the church. And I remember sitting outside, and God says, "You will not pastor that church until you make things right with your Father. You call Him now and make it right." And I hope that speaks to some of you here today. And I picked up that phone, I called my daddy, and let me tell you, things have begun to happen. And as I look in the rearview mirror of my life, and I see how God has orchestrated it beyond me, past me. If I tried to do things on my own, guess what? I'd have messed it up. It had been horrible, but I had to listen. So what I did was I constantly went back to the words God had told me. He told me to do something, be faithful to His Word. And I think for many of you here today, some of you are sitting here saying, "Well, you know what? God seems silent." Let me tell you what you need to do. Open up the Scriptures and begin to read. Read what God has already said to you. Remember, I remember reading James, and James says this. James chapter 1, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds," because that's exactly what I faced. That's the Scriptures that was on my heart the entire time I was in Mississippi, and it was one trial after another trial after trial after trial. And I got disheartened. I said, "Lord, why did you send me back here? I don't want to be here anymore. Why am I here? What am I doing?" Count it all joy, my son, when you fall into different trials. It's only going to perfect your faith. And I remember reading verse 22, it says, "But be a doer of His Word." Be doers. Here's the second thing. The second thing I want to show to you that God revealed is this. The Word of the Lord was revealed. Look at verse 7. It says, "And the Word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to Samuel." In other words, He heard His voice. He heard Him speak. And the only thing he thought it was Eli calling him. Until the Word of God had been revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, here's what was happening. God was coming and calling him, calling him, calling him. But he had yet to understand it. When Eli finally got it, listen, parents, listen. Let me just speak to parents for a second. Do not expect your kids to be able to hear God if you are not listening yourself. It was the mentor of Samuel who finally got it. He finally figured it out. After this, he was stuck in this stupor of religion. He finally figured it out and said, "Wait a minute, maybe God is speaking. Samuel, maybe God is speaking to you." It was at that point that Samuel went back and revealed by the Holy Spirit, revealed to him, it is God who is speaking. And then he said these words, "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's a big wake-up call for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God." The natural person in this scripture, as Paul is writing, is talking about the one who is yet to experience or allow the Holy Spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit working in and through their life. And we're living in a culture right now that's not listening to the voice of God. Look around us. Our culture right now is listening to their own ideas. Our culture is listening to their own pleasures, their own fleshly pleasures, what they're listening to. They do not have the Spirit of God in their life. And in order for us to begin to hear and understand and listen, we've got to let it be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This has happened with Samuel. Samuel figured this out. This was a moment in his life when revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And I pray every day for my boys to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray every day that we as a church, each of you, as I see your faces, I can see your faces as I go back and pray that we're continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is, I know, to be true. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will hear the voice of the Lord. Remember, we talked last week, and John says the shepherd calls, the sheep hear and recognize his voice. But a stranger's voice, they will not follow. And This is what happened to Samuel that night. And here's the third thing and the final thing, is the word of the Lord is heard best by servants. In verse 10, when Samuel realizes that God is the one speaking to him, notice how he responds. You remember the first two times that God called him, he goes, "Samuel." He responded and ran. "Samuel," he responded. But eventually, when it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, the Lord came and stood in the same place he stood before. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." He said it twice. Because it had been revealed. And the words that he said, this is what Samuel did. After Eli had wrestled through and understood, Samuel did this. Samuel says, "Speak, your servant is listening." And here's why this is so important. And I'm convinced. Do you know who God wants to speak to the most? Who does God want to speak to the most? And I'm totally convinced of this. Right? This is probably real simple. The ones he knows that are already made up their mind that they're going to obey what he says. And that comes from being a servant. You see, Samuel was a servant. And Eli told him, "Say, your servant is listening." People who are humble and have already made up their minds to obey is the one the Lord is going to speak to. They're the ones that the Lord is going to call out. Those will be the times when his word will not be rare, but he'll begin to speak. And here's the other reason I think this is difficult sometimes, is because a lot of times, this is exactly what happened to me, a lot of times when God speaks, you know what's the first thing he's going to tell us to do? Forgive. "Oh, me, Pastor, don't say that." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to ask you to forgive. He's going to ask you to forgive somebody. Because I think all of us at some point got a little bit of awe against somebody in our life. Amen? A lot of times we don't want to hear him and we're not listening because we may have made up our mind, "Well, I'm not going to obey what he has to say because you're probably going to ask me to forgive somebody. And if I have to forgive somebody, that means I've got to humble my own heart. I've got to get rid of the pride on the inside and humble myself and forgive." Or maybe even ask forgiveness. "Speak, your servant is listening." I'll ask your worship team to come. I want to tell you another story very similar to this one of Samuel, where these exact same words were mentioned. It's a young girl. Maybe 1,000 years later, the young girl she's living on the edge of a desert in Galilee. She had her whole life was sort of planned out for her. She had everything figured out. She was betrothed to a wonderful young man. They were ready to live their life together. And then one day, the voice of the Lord came to her and told her, "Mary, you're favored. And this is what's going to happen to you. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to conceive. You're going to have a child, a son. And not only are you going to have a son, but let me tell you who he's going to be. He's going to be the much awaited Messiah." Now think about what was going through Mary's head at the time. Wait a minute. Now hold on. So here I am. I'm engaged to be married. And you're telling me I'm going to get pregnant now with a son by the Holy Spirit. What's the community going to think about me? What are they going to say? Right? What if Joseph decides that he doesn't want to be with me anymore? What if he decides to just leave me? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? Because he had every right in Jewish culture to leave her. And she would be shamed by her family. In her community. But what words do we read that she said? What did she say? What did Mary say? When she heard the voice of the God, she says, "Be it unto me. I am your servant." And here's the ones I believe that will hear the voice of God and recognize are the ones who understand. They understand that they're a servant. They allow humility to reign in their life. Amen. I just want to read those words from Luke 1, chapter 38. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Can you say those words this morning? Can you say the words, "I am a servant of the Lord"? Just say it again. Say, "I am a servant of the Lord." One more time, I hear you say, I am a servant of the Lord. And this sounds just like what Samuel did. And here's the challenge for us today. In a moment, we're going to come and receive at the Lord's table. And I like the way that we do it because you get to come. You get to get up out of your seats. You get to come and take. Come to the table. And here's our challenge today. This is what I've been challenged since 2006 up to this day, the challenge. Have you made up your mind that whatever the Lord asks you to do, are you going to obey? For many of us, that's not that hard. I can do that. I can do that. I can be a servant. I can allow the Holy Spirit to reveal God's voice to me. Absolutely. For some of us, though, today, that's pretty tough. For many of us, we don't like the word obey, do we? Right, come on now. We don't like the word obey. Because it means when I obey, I'm submitting to somebody. And in our culture today, that's a very difficult concept for us to grasp. And if we understand and realize that we have to obey, if you're willing to obey, to humble your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the voice of God, He will speak and it will radically change your life. Because you better hang on. You better hang on to something, because when you say, God, I am going to obey no matter what you say, I'm going to obey your voice, I am submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, you are my God. If you decide to do that today, if you accept that challenge, you better hang on to something, because God's going to radically change your life. Because that's what He's done to me since 2006, man. I've had to hang on. That's why I got no more hair right here, because the wind's blown it off. You got to hang on, because He's going to change your life. Speak, your servant is listening. Would you stand with me this morning? So this is what we're going to do at this point in our service. And then you guys can go to the beach. We're going to come to the table. Look, I'm going to ask a couple of our ushers just to come over. Just kind of help out a little bit. Come, if you would, just step out on the outside of the aisle, each row. Come around, take communion, and then go sit back down. Hope and Archie, you guys just stay where you're at. We'll come and serve you when we're done, okay? We love you. You just stay where you are. We'll come serve you. As you take it and you go back, we're going to worship a little bit. And I just want you to think about that challenge today. Are you willing to listen and obey the voice of God? As you hold the bread and the juice in your hand today, just pray that out to the Lord. Just say these words. Speak, Lord. I am listening. So let's just worship God, and you can kind of come down. Just come, each row, come to the outside and go back up the middle row. In a few minutes, we'll come back and we'll receive communion together. You are my disciples because the love you have for one another. What greater way to show the love of Jesus Christ is to love each other? And that's the God I serve. He is risen. As we hold these elements in our hands today, was moments before He was going to be betrayed and go through the worst, most painful, agonizing death that's ever been known to the human race. And even when He was in the garden, He even sat there as He was praying. He said these words. He said, Lord, if this cup could pass, if it could pass. And though He was thinking, as He began to think that, could it pass? And then His words came out of His mouth. He said, but not my will, but your will be done. He knew what He had to do. Jesus knew what He had to do. And He did that because His love for you, His love for me is so much greater than we could ever imagine. If we could just get one small glimpse of that love that God has, that Jesus has for us, I don't think we would ever be the same. I think our face would smile no matter what we would go through. We would never be able to frown again if we could just get a small glimpse, just a small glimpse of that love. And that's why it is important for us as believers and followers of Christ to take this moment today to remember what He did. Because He told His disciples, He says, do this often as you remember me. He said that He took the bread that night. And said he broke it and he passed it to his disciples. And he told them, he said, "This is my body broken for you. And it's broken for you and for me." And this is when he went to that cross. So as we remember that today, let's take and eat that together. It says, in the same manner, when the supper had finished, it says he took the cup. And as he drank from the cup, he passed it to his disciples and he said this. He says, "This is my blood that was shed." You see, forgiveness of sins from the very beginning, there's always shedding of blood. There's always been shedding of blood. And many times through the scriptures we see where the sacrifices were made on behalf of the sins of humanity. But Jesus Christ came and says, "I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to shed my blood." And all that humanity has to do is just say, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior." It is so simple. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will come and begin to reveal to us His voice. And so let's never, ever take for granted this moment. Never take for granted how precious the love of God is for us. So let's take, remembering the blood that Jesus shed, let's take it together. Amen. So Father, as we close here today, we love you. And my prayer today, Father, for those who are here is that if your voice seems to be rare in their life, that they remember what you've already spoken, that they get back into the written word and allow the written word inspired by the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to their life. That the Holy Spirit would continue to reveal Himself and reveal the voice of God that is speaking. And they would continue to be your servants to listen and obey the words that you have spoken. Lord, you've invited us into your conversation and we come willingly with a humble heart. And we thank you, God. Speak, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen.